kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Today for our teaching, and we're calling this How Big is God in Your Mind and Conception? How big is God in your mind and conception? This is quite a challenging subject, this, because the very idea of God is a revelation in itself. Unless God reveals something of himself, we will have no idea at all. And because sin has entered into the world, even though we are made in the likeness of God, yet we are out of fellowship with him, and we are not receiving that revelation, that intimate revelation of relationship. And unless God takes that initiative and moves on our behalf, then we really have no hope. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, How Big is God in Your Mind and Concept? Because, you know, there are many who profess Christ as their Saviour, and they go to church, they pray, they read their Bibles. But unless this is changing us, it really is counterproductive. We have got to start to have an understanding of God and who he is. Now, I'm going to kick off with this teaching today in Psalm 8, and verses 1 to 4. The Psalms have much to say about the bigness of God, the sovereignty of God, the greatness of God. And before we even start with this, the Bible, these 66 books that we hold in our hand, is minuscule to God. There is enough here for us to understand and learn about God. The Word of God is for man. The Word of God is not for God. He doesn't need it. But he has chosen to reveal himself through the written word, through Jesus Christ, the living word who became flesh. The word is for man. And yet we do not separate the word from God or God from the word. And yet for God's existence, he doesn't need it. It is for us to understand. Remember that before Adam fell, there was no need of the Bible, the Word of God, the revelation of God. It wasn't necessary. It's only come about because man has fallen from the standard that God intended through Adam, Eve, that we have these 66 books of which we're to labour and study in. So we need to bear that in mind as we begin to look at this. And we're answering that question, how big is God in your mind and concept? Psalm 8 verses 1 to 4. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? And then it goes on about Christ who came in the flesh. So we have some understandings here. He opens up and says, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. So God's glory is not contained within creation. That is simply part of his glory. It is part of his handiwork. When we look at God's creation, when we look out of our window, when we look up into the sky, the sun and the moon and everything, that is just a small reflection of God and his glory. And yet it says he's outside of that. It's all contained within him. And why has he opened our minds and hearts for this? Because he says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. So it's out of weakness, out of simplicity, having that childlike mind and faith, he says, you have ordained strength because of what? Your enemies. This is why he gives the gospel to those who are simple, those a lot who are not really educated, those whom the world rejects. He says he gives us the revelation of his son Jesus Christ. For what purpose? Because of his enemies, our enemies. That you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And this is what God does. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world for God's glory, for the very purpose that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. That is why the church exists today. That is why it is a light, a candlestick light that's set on a lampstand. It's like a lighthouse set on a hill to silence the enemy and the avenger, to expose him. This is one of the main reasons why God knew what sin had done. God knew the adversary and what he was going to do. You see, God knows all things. And then the psalmist says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? In other words, he's in awe that one could even be mindful of God. That we can even breathe and speak his name. And he says, the Son of Man that you visit him. So we're getting this idea, aren't we, of the greatness of God. You see, the great conflict in this life is God or man. They are the conflicts that we face. You see, the handiwork of man is everywhere. We have thousands upon thousands of books on who is God and what is man. It's interesting that wherever we travel, we can see in some way and degree the hand of man in what he's built and what he's achieved. Our relationships are so often connected with each other. my health, my fitness is dependent on the food that I eat, and that is produced by farmers who work on the land. My health is dependent on doctors and pharmaceutical companies. My education is so dependent on my parents, schools and universities. The obsession with man and who he is. We have myriads of books on man and what is man. Psychology and psychologists trying to work out man and so on. Where have I come from? What is my destiny? You see, man becomes more and more confused when he goes down that path because he's believing the devil's lies. And this is why we are living in such confusion now. And why is this? Because he starts with himself and he doesn't start with God. And there is the confusion. And that is the devil's lie. And all the while man looks to man and tries to work out man, he will become more and more confused and will go further and further away from Almighty God. But when you start with God, then things are completely different. And that is his problem, because he doesn't start with God. He's obsessed with himself. And that's why we've got all these books, self-help books, how to improve your life and your future and how to succeed and so forth. That's why we have Masonry, the Illuminati. That is the ancient religion. And if you join it, then you will not only become the elite, but you will improve yourself. You will become successful. You will become rich. But the problem is with that, you will never see how big your God is. Your God will only be as big as your mind and your conception and your understanding of him. And there is the problem. You see, once we understand, or we begin to get the idea of who God is, then we begin to know and understand who we are. And there is the problem. All the while man is trying to understand man, and he's delving into this so-called evolution, which I call devolution, he becomes more and more confused. But when you bring God upon the agenda, when you begin to acknowledge God, then we begin to understand who we are. And this is why we are living now in a godless age and generation. Man's mind is becoming seared, reprobate. He's becoming godless because he is so obsessed with himself. Because he leaves God out of the equation. But the moment we start to acknowledge God, our whole conception and ideas completely change. Now, all of that might sound elementary, but those principles that I have just spoken about, what I have just spoken about, is a thread that runs through our everyday life. You have a choice each day whether you are going to make God center or yourself center. We have a choice, and that is why the Lord shows that we are to take up our cross daily and follow him as well as disciples. So not only did he, of course, take up his cross, but we do likewise for the very purpose of what I'm talking about, because then it changes everything and no longer are you the center, but God is, because God is dealing with the self-life. He's dealing with you. And that is what the cross does. What is the cross for? It is to take up and die upon. That's the nature of the cross. And the Apostle Paul says that we die daily, that the life of Christ may manifest in and through us. And that can only be achieved when God is center of our mind and heart and being 24/7. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, How Big Is God in Your Mind and Conception? And that is the question that we're raising. Well, let's turn to Psalm 83. As I say, we've got a lot in the Psalms that speak about this today. Psalm 83 and verse 18. Psalm 83 and verse 18. That they may know that you whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. So there we are. He says, that they may know that you, whose name alone is Lord or Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. Now he's saying there that they might not just know it intellectually, but that they will know it through experience, through revelation, you see. The word that we read, when we read such verses like that, something within us should rise up and say, Lord, I want to know that experientially. It has to be more than just a letter. It has to be translated into revelation, into experience. And the reason that I'm stressing this is because this is what helps us to walk 24/7 with God, and that God is center of everything. And when God is center of everything in my life, my walk, my conversation, my relationship with people and where I go and so on, then it's not about me. It is about him. And there is the difference. It's called walking in the Spirit, Romans 8. And it says here that there's no one greater than God. He is the Most High. There is no one else. That is how God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. Christ was revealing himself through the burning bush, the pre-incarnate Christ. He says, I am. That verb to be. In other words, there's no one else. I am sending you to the people. Tell them I am. There's no one else. So you see, they had to have even a conception or an understanding of the Most High God to receive Moses and what he said to them. So you see, God had already been working with the children of Israel in bondage, preparing them for their great deliverance when Moses came to them. And it's exactly the same with you and I. God was preparing us from the womb for the right time, that when we heard the word of God, when we heard that invite to receive Christ as our Saviour, we responded, you see. Very often we don't understand how or why we responded, but we know that we did respond. something witnessed within my heart and spirit, you see, because it has to be revealed. What does it say in Psalm 96? Let's take it up from verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the fields be joyful and all that is in it, that all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his strength. It says in verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And that's all about singing a new song to the Lord. You see, these are very important for us, for our worship and our praise. This is why when we start to understand the greatness of God, worship, praise is not a problem. You want to worship, you want to praise him, you want to get excited about the Lord. You want to be free in his presence to express, to worship as the Lord leads. We're still too staid and mannered in our presence before God. We don't get caught up enough in worshiping and praising him. That's why it's so important when we come together to worship and praise, to forget about self, to forget about those things around you, and just open your heart and mind and being and worship him in spirit and in truth. This is when then the gifts of the Spirit begin to move. This is when you begin to see miracles happening and so on. Now, I'm not saying that this is something that you contrive yourself, which sadly we have a lot of worship that does that today. It's man done, it's entertainment. No, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, in holiness and righteousness. God doesn't want always big orchestras and big bands and whatever it is. That's what we think God wants. God wants hearts that are open, that love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind and being. That's what he inhabits, where two or three are gathered together in his name and presence. We get it all wrong, you see, because sadly the churches have moved into entertainment and they call it worshipping and spiritual and so forth. But that's another story. We know all about that. What does it say in Psalm 145? Psalm 145, verses 1 to 3. I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And it goes from one generation shall praise your works and so forth, and so it goes on. So look what it's saying here again. I will exalt or I will honour you, my God, O King. I bless your name forever and ever. And that is exactly what we do and will do. We will bless and praise him throughout eternity. It's not just in this life. It's going to go on forever in eternity for the Christian. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is what? Unsearchable. You can't even find it. We're just scratching the surface in our mind and thinking with regard to God, with regard to his greatness and so on. Yet we so limit him, don't we, to our mind, to our life and my thing. We have to get delivered from self, brothers and sisters, if we are to know the greatness of Almighty God. And what does it say in Psalm 150 and verse 2? Psalm 150 verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So we're to praise him for the way he acts, the way he works, how he's ever working in our lives, both individually and corporately. And his greatness, it says excellent greatness. So we find at times that we run out of words in which to describe, to express our God and his greatness and so on. Now, all of this is really described in one word, that he is incomprehensible. In other words, it's impossible to know him. And yet we're trying to find out. And the only way is the written revelation of God's word revealed to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And yet we will never know or discover fully who he is, because he is incomprehensible. He's mighty God. This word incomprehensible means not able to understand, unintelligible. So we are limited. And yet we can go on learning and learning, and yet it's still limited, incomprehensible. Where do you begin? Where do you start with all of this? Well, thank God that he's given us the revelation of his word. We know that he's almighty, all great and everything, because it says in the beginning, God. He doesn't explain himself. He doesn't say who he is, where he's from, what he's doing or whatever it is. It says in the beginning, God. And then it says he created the earth and the heavens and so on. There it is. In the beginning is God. Meaning that there has always been God. There's never been a time when there was not. He has always been. That's how it actually reads. And that is where we get this idea, this word of incomprehensible. It's impossible to know him. And man is trying to find out, trying to learn. We have myriads of books written about God and so forth. And the only way is through the written revelation of God's word that's inspired to us by the Holy Spirit. And that is why I make so much of the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid the idea or the relying upon the Holy Spirit seems to be not what it was in churches anymore. He is the one who has come to us revealing the Father. In other words, God. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal. He is the revelation. He ministers that revelation to us that we desperately need, so that We can have a concept of God. We can have an idea that God exists in Jesus Christ. So that we can see something far greater and bigger than ourselves, than my circumstances, my trials, or what I'm going through. This is why it's so important to understand this, and this is why I'm making so much about this today, brothers and sisters, because of what we go through, the trials of our faith. It's absolutely imperative that we understand this. What does it say in Psalm 139? Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Listen to what he's saying. This, he says, this blows my mind. I can't fathom this out. You know me. You know when I lie down. You know when I rise. You search me. You understand every thought. You understand thoughts even more than I do. You know my paths. You know exactly what path I'm going to take. Never takes you by surprise. You know when I lie down. You're acquainted with all my ways, every ways, including the trials, the disappointments, the joys, the blessings, and so on. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows every word you will speak in this life, every syllable you utter. He knows and has known. And always has known. You've hedged me behind and before. Isn't that wonderful to know that he's not only the God who's in front, but the God behind? So we are protected with his guarding angels, both front and rear. And laid your hand upon me. That's what it means. He has laid his hand, the very hand and word that created the heavens and the earth. He's laid it on you and I. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And this is what it does. And thank God he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit so that these languages can come out and bypass everything and give him all the praise and glory, because it's too big, it's too vast, it's too great. And it's so sad that we have brothers and sisters in churches who are utterly confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Why? Because they have such a small conception and understanding of God. And the reason why? Because self is still in the way. They're more consumed in their self. They're not challenged with the word of God. The fire has not fallen in the pulpits and the preachers and the teachers. It's tragic, brothers and sisters. How blessed you are. How flesh and blood does not reveal this to us, but it comes by the Spirit of God, revelation, for the very purpose that God is center of your life 24/7. What does Isaiah have to say? Isaiah 28 and verse 29. Isaiah 28 and verse 29. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. So there we are. He not only counsels you, but he also guides you as well. Again, we need these revelations and understanding of this mighty God who does this work on our behalf. And the only way we are going to understand this is when we deal with the self-life. That selfish life that is within us, where we put self first before God. That is the major sin that's found, sadly, in the house of God. And this is why God has brought us to the deeper life teaching, for that very purpose, that God can be center, so that we know his counsel, that we know his guidance, his leading, day by day. You see, his greatness is not only what he is, but what he also does. And that's the difference, you see. It's not only knowing his greatness, but it's knowing what his greatness does. And that is important. And this is where our problem comes with our limited understanding of God. We don't see him so much in our trials. We don't see this incomprehensible almighty God. In other words, I cannot see that he will provide for me. And yet he says that he does. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, he's much bigger than I think. The problem is, we don't think that we can attain to his level. Well, don't even try. Only God can work that. You see, God is bringing us to a level of perfection that is pleasing in his sight. You try and get to God's level and you will fail before you even start. That is why so many, sadly, are deceived. Because they think it's by works that they are reconciled. It's by how they sacrifice for God that they will be accepted by him and make it into the kingdom of God. You can't. You can't at all. Don't even attempt it. Only God can work in our lives through Jesus Christ. Remember, I've been speaking to you recently, God only answers his Son. The world, the creation, was not made for man, it was made for his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that pleases the Father. And whoever Jesus receives, the Father receives as well. This is why it is a work of grace. And we can't in any way try and earn our salvation by works. And yet we know that faith produces works, but it's around the other way, you see. It's as we believe, and our believing becomes active. And what is the active side? It is the stepping out in faith, exercising our faith, you see, on the revelation and understanding of God. You see, our conception of God and how big he is absolutely dependent on what sort of faith I'm going to have and how I'm going to walk by faith. You see, And this is where the deliverance comes. This is where God changes our minds. He's working on the mind. He's casting down those thoughts, those imaginations, and we have to allow him to do that. The deliverance is in man's mind. Every time we come together for a meeting like this, he's working deliverance. He's casting down those obstacles. He's dealing with those things in our life that hinder our faith. And our faith is dependent on my understanding of God. And even that is limited. Even that is minuscule. But you start somewhere in this. Praise God by his mercy and grace. And that's why the disciples ask who the Father is, and Jesus said, I've been here with you so long, have you not learnt yet? When you see me, you see the Father. So our conception, our understanding of Almighty God can only come through Jesus Christ. He is the reflection. Thank God for that. Else we are in completely lost. We are completely in darkness. And Jesus Christ is the reflection of his Father. And the reflection we have is this Bible, these 66 books. This is a reflection when we read this. This is what is revealed to us. And yet we know when we get into glory, we will be learning forever and ever. We will never stop learning about the greatness of Almighty God. I mean, you can't even get your mind around that, can you? But that's what it's going to be. There'll be always something new, something different. We will live constantly in revelation, the presence of revelation. We will have it revealed to us all the time. There will be no time ever in glory when we are not experiencing revelation of the glory and majesty of Almighty God. Now we get excited, don't we, when we get revelation, when we get understanding, when it drops at 18 inches. And we get it from time to time, and it's such a blessing, isn't it? We get such a quickening. Oh, wow, you know, you could conquer the world. Well, that's just a reflection of what you are going to and what you will experience. It's why the Apostle Paul said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. So we're beginning to understand then, aren't we? Not only this incomprehensible God, but that he provides for me. He's much bigger than I think. He's much bigger than I am. I can't even attain to that level. I'm not even going to try, but I'm going to allow the revelation of God's word to change me into the likeness of his Son. What does it say in Romans 11, verse 33, as I bring this to a conclusion? Romans 11 and verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, of course, the apostle is expressing this in light of Israel. Has God forsaken Israel? No, he hasn't, because Paul is a Jew. So he's not forsaken Paul. So God knows that he's got a remnant. God knows that he's going to do something with that nation. And of course, we know that God will restore and is restoring that nation. But he's speaking about here where God has put that nation to one side. And as a result of Israel's failure, God now has turned for a season to the Gentiles and give them a chance. And that's what he's speaking about. How could you work that out? Who even knows the mind of God? His ways are past finding out. That's what he's expressing here. You probably need to be a Jew to really appreciate that, what he's saying there. In other words, I can't even attain to this level. So why is it in our trials we think we understand or we can do God's work for him? You can't. You can't do God's work at all in the trial that you go through. Why is it you try to understand your trials? Don't even attempt it. Just know that you're not the only one that's going through. He's going through it with you, and you will come out the other end. And you will have a deeper understanding and revelation of why you went through that and what God was achieving and working through that trial. We should always keep that in our mind and thinking when we go through these various trials. They don't make any sense. There is no logic to them most of the time. Why we try to understand, why we try to be in control is ridiculous. It's because we still do not have a big enough mind and conception of Almighty God. We're still limiting him. In other words, self is still important. And that is why God has to allow us to go through these trials. So that I cannot work for him. Our trials give us that greater revelation and understanding of Almighty God, you see. And not only that, but also his holiness. You see, everything is passing away and will pass away. But the attributes, the mightiness of God, God's will always remain throughout eternity. And they are unchangeable. They don't change. God doesn't change. The way he works, the way he deals with us, handles with us, doesn't change. He's done it with every saint who has been saved. He's unchangeable. And yet we still think we're in control. We still think we can work it out and so on. And that's why we get frustrated and disappointed and angry. Because you're trying to work out God and you never will. It is revelation. He has to reveal himself. God had to reveal himself to Job. And Job went through the trials, horrific trials, to understand Almighty God. And in the end, he doesn't try and work it out anymore. He leaves it with God. He's exhausted. He's tried talking, arguing with God. You know it, you've read the book. And in the end, he just raises his hands. I surrender. That is the best thing to do with God, is to surrender. Raise your hands. It's the best thing. When you raise your hands, that's a sign you've let go of everything and you're trusting the Lord. What does Psalm 72 verses 17 to 20 say? Psalm 72, 17 to 20. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And so it goes on. There we are. So how big is God in your mind and concept? That's the question we've been raising today. Only your commitment, your hungering and your thirsting for more of him will you be filled with this knowledge and understanding. For the reason that you may stand in faith in these last days and be ready for his appearing. And I close with a few scriptures now. Ephesians 3, you know these very well, but I think these sum up what we've been talking about today. And that is, how big is God in your mind and concept? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Notice this work that he does. I've just read to you there in verses 17 to 19. It says it's done in the church. To him be glory in the church. In other words, the body of Christ. This is why I say God does nothing outside the body. Everything that we need to know and experience and understand is done in his body, the church. And these people that think that they can walk with God and not be part of a church, a body, are deceiving themselves. Ephesians is a classic example of what he does in the church, the body of Christ. For what? That we get this revelation, this understanding, this knowledge, that we experience the fullness of God. He does this in the body when he brings us together under the anointing, to work this within us, because this is spiritual, brothers and sisters. Flesh and blood can't work this. This is the Holy Spirit at work, implanting the revelation of God into your heart. That is why the Word of God is a seed planted to us, and we need it. What does it say also in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19? Ephesians chapter 1, 18, 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So on the basis of believing, the power of God works on your behalf. Never limit the power of God working in you. Even this very moment, don't limit what God can do and is doing. And finally, let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so it goes on. There we are. All of that is describing the incomprehensible work of Almighty God in our lives. So how big is God in your mind and concept? Well, I believe that when we have teachings like this, it reveals where we're lacking, but it also gives us a chance to be able to know and experience and learn more, so that we're walking in the presence of Almighty God. We are aware of God. We are filled with his presence. We're not in and out in relationship with him, but we're walking 24/7 in that unbroken relationship. That is what the overcomers are. That is why it's so important that we now learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And when we find ourselves walking in the flesh, or we have fallen, we have sinned, then deal with it immediately. Do not leave it. Because our understanding of the greatness of Almighty God is so important for our overcoming, to be ready as those wise virgins for when he comes. All of this is absolutely paramount. And remember, it is the power of God in you working this. And it's on the basis of simply believing with that childlike faith. Praise God. There we are. How big is God in your mind and concept?
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.